You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Zone Media.
Hello and welcome to Better Offline. I'm your host, Ed Zittron. Better Offline. And in the next two episodes, I'm going to tell you the names of some of the people responsible for destroying the internet. And I'm going to start on February 5th, 2019, when Ben Gomes, Google's former head of search, well, he had a problem. Jerry Dischler, then the VP and GM of ads at Google, and Shiv Venkataraman, then the VP of engineering search and ads on Google properties, had caught something called a code yellow for search revenue due to, and I quote emails that came out as part of Google's antitrust hearing, steady weakness in the daily numbers and a likeliness that it would end the quarter significantly behind in metrics that, kind of unclear. For those unfamiliar with Google's internal kind of Scientology-esque jargon, which means most people, let me explain. A code yellow isn't a terrible need to piss or some sort of crisis of moderate severity. The yellow, according to Stephen Levy's tell-all book about Google, refers to, and I promise this is not a joke, the color of a tank top that a former VP of engineering called Wayne Rosling used to wear during his time at the company. It's essentially the equivalent of DEFCON 1, and activates, as Levy explained, a war room-like situation where workers are pulled from their desks and into a conference room where they tackle the problem as a top priority. Any other projects or concerns are sidelined. And independently, I've heard there are other colors, like purple. I'm not going to get into that, though. It's quite boring and irrelevant to this situation. In emails released as part of the Department of Justice's antitrust case against Google, as I previously mentioned, Dischler laid out several contributing factors. Search query growth was significantly behind forecast, the timing of revenue launches was significantly behind, and he had this vague worry that several advertiser-specific and sector weaknesses existed in search. Now, I want to cover something because I've messed up, and I really want to be clear about this. I've previously and erroneously referred to the code yellow as something that Gomes raised as a means of calling attention to the proximity of Google's ad side getting a little too close to search. I'm afraid the truth is extremely depressing and so much grimmer. The code yellow was actually the rumble of the goddamn rot economy, with Google's revenue arm sounding the alarm that its golden goose wasn't laying enough eggs. Gomes, a Googler of 19 years that basically built the foundation of modern search engines, should go down as one of the few people in tech that actually fought for an actual principle, and he was destroyed by a guy called Prabhakar Raghavan, a computer scientist class traitor that sided with the management consultancy sect. More confusingly, one of their problems was that there was insufficient growth in queries, as in the amount of things that people were asking Google. It's a bit like if Ford decided that things were going poorly because their drivers weren't putting enough goddamn miles on their trucks. This whole story has personally upset me, and I think you're going to hear that in this. But going through these emails is just very depressing. Anyway, a few days beforehand, on February 1st, 2019, Kristen Gill, then Google's VP Business Finance Officer, had emailed Shashi Thakur, then Google's VP of Engineering, Search and Discover, saying that the ads team had been considering a code yellow to close the search gap it was seeing. Vaguely referring to how critical that growth was to an unnamed company plan. To be clear, this email was in response to Thacker stating that there is nothing that the search team could do to operate at the fidelity of growth that the ads department had demanded. Shashi forwarded the email to Gomes, asking if there's any way to discuss this with Sundar Pichai, Google's CEO, and declared that there was no way he would sign up for a high-fidelity business metric for daily active users on search. Thacker also said something that I've been thinking about constantly since I read these emails. That there was a good reason that Google's founders separated search from ads. I want you to remember that line for later. A day later, on February 2nd, 2019, Thacker and Gomes shared their anxieties with Nick Fox, a vice president of search and Google Assistant, entering a multiple day-long debate about Google's sudden lust for growth. This thread is a dark window into the world of growth-focused tech, where Thacker listed the multiple points of disconnection between ads and search, discussing how the search team wasn't able to finally optimize engagement on Google without hacking it, a term that means effectively tricking users into spending more time on a site, and that doing so would lead them to, and I quote, abandon work on efficient journeys. In one email, Fox adds that there was a pretty big disconnect between what finance and ads wants and what search was doing. Every part of this story pisses me off so much. When Gomes pushed back on the multiple requests for growth, Fox added that all three of them were responsible for search and that search was, and again I quote, the revenue engine of the company, and that bartering with the ads and finance teams was now potentially the new reality of their jobs. On February 6, 2019, Gomes said that he believed that search was getting too close to the money and ended his email by saying that he was concerned that growth is all that Google was thinking about. On March 22, 2019, Google VP of Product Management, Darshan Kantak, would declare the end of the code yellow. The thread mostly consisted of congratulatory emails until Gomes made the mistake of responding, congratulating everyone, saying that the plans architected as part of the code yellow would do well throughout the year. Enter Prabhakar Raghavan, then Google's head of ads and the true mastermind behind the code yellow, who would respond curtly, saying that the current revenue targets were addressed by heroic RPM engineering and that the core query softness continued without mitigation. A very clunky way of saying that despite these changes, query growth was not happening at the rate he needed it to. A day later, Gomes emailed Fox and Thacker an email he intended to send to Raghavan. He led by saying that he was annoyed both personally and on behalf of the search team. In this very long email, he explained in arduous detail how one might increase engagement with Google Search, but specifically added that they could increase queries quite easily in the short term, but only in user-negative ways, like turning off spell correction or ranking improvements, or placing refinements, effectively labels, all over the page, adding that it was possible that there are trade-offs here between the different kinds of user negativity caused by engagement hacking, and that he was deeply, deeply uncomfortable with this. He also added that this was the reason he didn't believe that queries, as in the amount of the things with people searching on Google, were a good metric to measure search, and that the best defense against the weaknesses of queries was to create compelling user experiences that make users want to come back. Crazy idea there. What if the product was good? Not good enough for Prabhakar. So, little bit of history about Google here. They regularly throughout the year do core updates to search. These are updates that change the algorithm that say, okay, we're going to suppress this kind of thing. We're going to elevate this kind of thing. And they are actually the reason that search changes. It's why certain sites suddenly disappear or reappear. It's why sites get a ton of traffic, some don't get any, and so on and so forth. But they do a lot of them. The one that's really interesting, I mean, a little bastard, and I went and looked through pretty much the last decade of these. The one that stood out to me was the March 2019 core update to search, which happened about a week before the end of the code yellow, meaning that it's very likely that this was a result of Prabhakar's bullshit. So this was expected to be one of the largest updates to search in a very long time, and I'm quoting Search Engine Journal there. Yet when it launched, many found that the update mostly rolled back changes, and traffic was increasing to sites that had been suppressed by previous updates like Google Search's Penguin update from 2012 that specifically targeted spammy search results. There were others that were seeing traffic as well from an update that happened on the 1st of August 2018. That was a few months after Gomes became head of search. While I'm guessing here, I really don't know. I do not work for Google. I do not have friends there. I think the timing of the March 2019 core update, along with the traffic increases to previously suppressed sites that 100% were spammy SEO nonsense, I think these suggest that Google's response to the Code Yellow was to roll back changes that were made to maintain the quality of search. A few months later, in May 2019, Google would roll out a redesign of how ads were shown on Google Search, specifically on mobile, replacing the bright green ad label and URL color on ads with a tiny little bolded black note that said ad in the smallest font you could possibly put there, with the link looking otherwise identical to a regular search link. I guess that's how they managed to start hitting their numbers, huh? And then in January 2020, Google would bring this change to desktop, and The Verge's John Porter would suggest that it made Google's ads look just like search results now. Awesome. 5 months later, a little over a year after the Code Yellow situation, Google would make Prabhakar Raghavan the head of Google Search, with Jerry Dischler taking his place as the head of ads. After nearly 20 years of building Google Search, Gomes would be relegated to the SVP of Education at Google. Gomes, who was a critical part of the original team that made Google Search work, who has been credited with establishing the culture of the world's largest and most important search engine, was chased out by a growth-hungry managerial type. Several of them, actually, led by Prabhakar Raghavan, a management consultant wearing an engineer costume. As a side note, by the way, I use the term management consultant there as a pejorative. While he exhibits all the same bean-counting, morally unguided behaviors of a management consultant, from what I can tell, Raghavan has never actually worked in that particular sector of the economy. But you know who has? Sundar Pichai, the CEO of Google, who previously worked at McKinsey, arguably the most morally abhorrent company that's ever existed, having played roles both in the 2008 financial crisis, where it encouraged banks to load up on debt and flawed mortgage-backed securities, and the ongoing opioid crisis, where it effectively advised Purdue Pharma on how to growth hack sales of OxyContin, an extremely addictive painkiller. McKinsey has paid nearly $1 billion over several settlements due to its work with Purdue. But I'm getting sidetracked. But one last point. McKinsey is actively anti-labor. When a company brings in a McKinsey consultant, they're often there to advise on how to cut costs, which inevitably means layoffs and outsourcing. McKinsey is to the middle class what flesh-eating bacteria is to your skin.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global. Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
But back to the emails, which are a stark example of the monstrous, disgusting rot economy, the growth at all costs mindset that's dominating the tech ecosystem. And if you take one thing away from this episode, I want it to be the name Prabhakar Raghavan and an understanding that there are people responsible for the current state of the internet. These emails, which I really encourage you to look up, and if you go to wheresyoured.at, you'll be able to see a newsletter that has links to them. Well, these emails tell a dramatic story about how Google's finance and advertising teams, led by Raghavan with the blessing of CEO Sundar Pichai, the McKinsey guy, actively worked to make Google worse to make the company more money. This is exactly what I mean when I talk about the rot economy, an illogical, product-destroying mindset that turns products you love into torturous, frustrating quasi-tools that require you to fight the company to get the thing you want. Ben Gomes was instrumental in making search work, both as a product and a business. He joined the company in 1999, a time long before Google established dominance in the field, and the same year when Larry Page and Sergey Brin tried to sell the company to Excite for $1 million, only to walk away after Vinod Khosla, an Excite investor and co-founder of Sun Microsystems that's now a VC who tried to stop people going to a beach in Half Moon Bay, well, he tried to lowball them with a $750,000 offer, also known as a 100-square-foot apartment in San Francisco. In an interview with Fast Company's Harry McCracken from 2018, Gomes frayed Google's challenge as taking the PageRank algorithm from one machine to a whole bunch of machines, and they weren't very good machines at the time. Despite his impact and tenure, Gomes had only been made head of search in the middle of 2018, after John Guillendurrière moved to Apple to work on its machine learning and AI strategy. Gomes had been described as Google's search czar, beloved for his ability to communicate across Google's many, quite decentralized departments. Every single article I've read about Gomes and his tenure at Google spoke of a man deeply ingrained in the foundation of one of the most important technologies ever made, a man who had dedicated decades to maintaining a product with a, and I quote Gomes here, guiding light of serving the user and using technology to do that. And when finally given the keys to the kingdom, the ability to elevate Google search even further, he was rat-fucked by a series of rotten careerists trying to please Wall Street, led by Prabhakar Raghavan. Do you want to know what Prabhakar Raghavan's old job was? Well, Prabhakar Raghavan, the new head of Google search, the guy that ran Google search, that runs Google search right now, that is running Google search into the goddamn ground. Do you want to know what his job was? His job before Google? He was the head of search for goddamn Yahoo from 2005 through 2012. When he joined the company, when Prabhakar Raghavan took over Yahoo search, they held a 30.4% market share, not far from Google's own 36.9%, and miles ahead of the 15.7% that Microsoft's MSN search had. By May 2012, Yahoo was down to just 13.4% and had shrunk for the previous 9 consecutive months and was being beaten by even the newly released Bing. That same year, Yahoo had the largest layoffs in its corporate history, shedding 2,000 employees, or 14% of its overall workforce. The man who deposed Ben Gomes, someone who worked on Google search from its very beginnings, was so shit at his job that in 2009, Yahoo effectively threw in the towel on its own search tech, instead choosing to license Bing's engine in a 10-year deal. If we take a long view of things, this likely precipitated the overall decline of the company, which went from being worth $125 billion at the peak of the dot-com boom to being sold to Verizon for $4.8 billion in 2017. Which is roughly a 3,000-square-foot apartment in San Francisco. With search no longer a priority and making less money for the company, Yahoo decided to pivot into Web 2.0 and original content, making some bets that paid off, but far, far too many that did not. It spent $1.1 billion on Tumblr in 2013, only for Verizon to sell it for just $3 million in 2019. It bought Zimbra in 2007, ostensibly to compete with the new Google Apps productivity suite, only to sell it for a reported fraction of the original purchase price to VMware a few years later. That's not his fault. But nevertheless, Yahoo was a company without a mission, a purpose, or an objective. Nobody, and I'll speculate, even those leading the company, really knew what it was or what it did. Anyway, just a big shout out right now to Kara Swisher, who referred to Prabhakar as well-respected when he moved from Yahoo to Google. You absolutely nailed it, Kara. Bang up job. In an interview with ZDNet's Dan Farber from 2005, Raghavan spoke of his intent to align the commercial incentives of a billion content providers with social good intent while at Yahoo, and his eagerness to inspire the audience to give more data. What? Anyway, before that, it's actually hard to find out exactly what Raghavan did, though according to ZDNet, he spent 14 years doing search and data mining research at IBM. In April 2011, The Guardian ran an interview with Raghavan that called him Yahoo's secret weapon, describing his plan to make rigorous scientific research and practice to inform Yahoo's business from email to advertising, and how under then-CEO Carol Bartz, the focus had shifted to the direct development of new products. It speaks of Raghavan's scientific approach and his steady, process-based logic to innovation that is very different to the common perception that ideas and development are more about luck and spontaneity. A sentence that I'm only reading to you because I really need you to hear how stupid it sounds and how specious some of the tech press used to be. Frankly, this entire article is ridiculous, so utterly vacuous that I'm actually astonished. I don't want to name the reporter. I feel bad. What about Raghavan's career made this feel right? How has nobody connected these dots before? I have a day job. I run a PR firm. I am a blogger with a podcast. And I'm the one who said, yeah, okay, Dracula is now the CEO of the blood bank. Nobody saw this. Nobody saw this at the time. I just feel a bit crazy. But to be clear, this was something written several years after Yahoo had licensed its search technology to Microsoft. In a financial deal that the next CEO, Marissa Mayer, who replaced Bartz, was still angry about for years, Raghavan's reign as what ZDNet referred to as the search master was one so successful that it ended up being replaced by a search engine that not a single person in the world enjoys saying out loud. The Guardian article ran exactly 1 year before dramatic layoffs at Yahoo that involved firing entire divisions worth of people, and 4 months before Carol Bartz would be fired by telephone by then-chairman Roy Bostock. Her replacement, Scott Thompson, who previously served as president of PayPal, would last a whole 5 months in the role before he was replaced by former Google executive Marissa Mayer, in part because it emerged he lied on his resume about having a computer science degree. Hey, Prabhakar, did you not notice? Anyway, whatever.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults.
you know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Bartz joined Yahoo in 2009, so about 4 years into Prabhakar's reign of terror, I guess. And she joined in the aftermath of its previous CEO, Jerry Yang, refusing to sell the company to Microsoft for $45 billion. In her first year, she laid off hundreds of people and struck a deal that I've mentioned before to power Yahoo's search using Microsoft's Bing search engine tech, with Microsoft paying Yahoo 88% of the revenue it gained from searches. A deal that made Yahoo a couple hundred million dollars for handing over the keys and the tech to its most high-traffic platform. As I previously stated, when Prabhakar Raghavan, Yahoo's secret weapon, was doing his work, Yahoo Search was so valuable that it was replaced by Bing. Its sole value, in fact, I mean, maybe I'm being a little unfair, but there's a way of looking at this that you could say that Yahoo's entire value at the end of his career was driven by nostalgia and association with days before he worked there. Anyway, thanks to the state of modern search, it's actually very, very difficult to find much about Raghavan's history. It took me hours of digging through Google, and at one point Bing, embarrassingly, to find three or four articles that went into any depth about him. But from what I've gleaned, his expertise lies primarily in failing upwards, ascending through the ranks of technology on the momentum from the explosions he's caused. In a Wired interview from 2021, Glad handler Stephen Levy said Raghavan isn't the CEO of Google, he just runs the place, and described his addition to the company as a move from research to management. While Levy calls him a world-class computer scientist who has authored definitive texts in the field, which is true, he also describes Raghavan as choosing a management track, which definitely tracks with everything I found out about him. Raghavan proudly declares that Google's third-party ad tech plays a critical role in keeping journalism alive in a really shitty answer to a question that was also made at a time when he was aggressively incentivizing search engine-optimized content, and a year after he deposed someone who actually gave a shit about search. Under Raghavan, Google has become less reliable and is dominated by search engine optimization and just outright spam. And I've said this before, but look, we complain about the state of Twitter under Elon Musk, and justifiably, he's a vile anti-Semite racist bigot. We all know this, it's fully true, we can say it a million times. However, I'd argue that Raghavan, and by extension, Sundar Pichai, deserve 100 times more criticism. They've done unfathomable damage to society. You really can't fix the damage they've been doing, and the damage they'll continue to do, especially as we go into an election. Raghavan and his cronies worked to oust Ben Gomes, a man who dedicated a good portion of his life to making the world's information more accessible, in the process burning the Library of Alexandria to the goddamn ground so that Sundar Pichai could make more than $200 million a year. And Raghavan, a manager hired by Sundar Pichai, a former McKinsey man, the king of managers, is an example of everything wrong with the tech industry. Despite his history as a true computer scientist with actual academic credentials, Raghavan chose to bulldoze actual workers, people who did things and people that care about technology, and replace them with horrifying toadies that would make Google more profitable and less useful. Since Prabhakar took the reins of Google in 2020, Google search has dramatically declined, with these core search updates I mentioned allegedly made to improve the quality of results, having the adverse effect, increasing the prevalence of spammy, shitty, search-optimized content. It's frustrating. The anger you hear in my voice, the emotion, is because I've read all of these antitrust emails. I have gone through this guy's history, and I've read all the things about Ben Gomes, too. Every article about Ben Gomes, where they interviewed, is this guy just having these dreamy thoughts about the future of information and the complexity of delivering it at high speed. Every interview with Raghavan is some vague bullshit about how important data is. It's so goddamn offensive to me. And all of this stuff happening is just one example of what I think are probably hundreds of things happening across startups, or that have happened across startups in the last 10 or 15 years, and big tech too. And it's because the people running the tech industry are no longer those who built it. Larry Page and Sergey Brin left Google in December 2019, the same year, by the way, as the Code Yellow thing. And while they remained as controlling shareholders, they clearly don't give a shit about what Google means anymore. Prabhakar Raghavan is a manager, and his career, from what I can tell, is mostly made up of did some stuff at IBM, failed to make Yahoo anything of note, and fucked up Google so badly that every news outlet has run a story about how bad it is. This is the result of taking technology out of the hands of real builders and handing it to managers at a time when management is synonymous with staying as far away from actual work as possible. When you're a do-nothing looking to profit as much as possible, who doesn't use tech, who doesn't care about tech, and you only care about growth, well, you're not a user, you're a parasite, and it's these parasites that have dominated and are now draining the tech industry of its value. Driving it into a goddamn ditch. Raghavan's story is unique, insofar as the damage he's managed to inflict, or if we're being exceptionally charitable, failed to avoid in the case of Yahoo, on two industry-defining companies, and the fact that he did it without being a CEO or founder is remarkable. Yet, he's far from the only example of a manager falling upwards. I'm going to editorialize a bit here. I want you to think about your job history. I want you to think about the managers you've had. I've written a lot about management, and specifically to do with remote work and the whole thing around guys who don't do work, who are barely in the office, telling you you need to be in the office. This problem is everywhere. Managers are everywhere, and managers aren't doing work. I'm sure someone will email me now and say, well, I'm a manager and I do work all the time. Yeah, mate, sure you do. That's why you're emailing me, telling me how good you are at your job. People who actually do work don't feel defensive about it. People who do things and are part of the actual profit center, they don't need a podcast to tell them they're good at their job. What I think the problem is in modern American corporate society is that management is no longer synonymous with actually managing people. It's not about getting the people what they need. It's not about organizing things and making things efficient and good. It's not about execution. It's about handing work off to other people and getting paid handsomely. And if you disagree, easy at betteroffline.com. I will read your email. Maybe I'll even respond. But the thing is, management has become a poison in America. Managers have become poisonous because managers are not actually held to any kind of standard. No, only the workers who do the work are. What happened to Ben Gomes is one of the most disgusting, disgraceful things to happen in the tech industry. It's an absolute joke. Ben Gomes was a goddamn hero, and I really need you to read the newsletter and read these emails. I need you to see how many times him and Thacker, great guy as well, was saying, hey, growth is bad for search. The thing that Ben Gomes was being asked to do was increase queries on Google, the literal amount that people search. There are many ways of looking at that and thinking, oh shit, that's not what you want. Surely you don't want no queries. You don't want people not using it at all. But queries going upwards linearly suggests that if you're not matching it to user growth, at least, that people are not getting what they want on the first try, which, by the way, kind of feels like how Google is nowadays. When you go to Google and the first result and the second result and the fifth result and the tenth result just don't get what you need because it's all SEO crap. Now, this is all theorizing, but what I think Prabhakar Raghavan did was I think he took off all the fucking guidelines on Google search. I think he rolled back changes specifically to make search worse, to increase queries, to give Google more chance to show you adverts. I am guessing. Don't have a source telling me this. But the pattern around the core search updates, the fact that Google search started getting worse toward the middle and end of 2019 and unquestionably dipped in 2020, well, that's when Prabhakar took over. That's when the big man took the reins. That's when Dracula got his job at the blood bank. And this is the thing. There's very little that you and I can actually do about this, but what we can do is say names like Prabhakar Raghavan a great deal of times so that people like this can be known, so that the actions of these scurrilous assholes can be seen and heard and pointed at and spat upon. I'm not suggesting spitting on anyone, no violent acts, no. You can be pissy on the internet like the rest of us. Now I'm ranting, I realize I'm ranting, but this subject really, really got to me. But it's not the only one. In the next episode, I'm going to conclude this sordid three-part fiasco. with a few more examples on how many of these managers, these bean counters, devoid of imagination or ability or anything of note, save for that utter slug-like ability to protect oneself, I want to talk about how these people manage to obfuscate their true intentions by pretending to be engineers, by pretending to be technologists, and pretending to be innovators. I want to tell you all about how Adam Mosseri destroyed Instagram. And I want to tell you how little Sam Altman has achieved other than making him and his friends rich. See you next time. Thank you for listening to Better Offline.
The editor and composer of the Better Offline theme song is Matt Osowski. You can check out more of his music and audio projects at mattosowski.com. MattOsowski.com.
You can email me at easy@betteroffline.com or check out betteroffline.com to find my newsletter and more links to this podcast. Thank you so much for listening.
Better Offline is a production of Cool Zone Media. For more from Cool Zone Media, visit our website, coolzonemedia.com, or check us out on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.